Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And at this time, we think of the fact that we are in this world marching through time. We have been placed on this time. The Lord has given to us this day. Psalm 118, verse 24, it's the day which the Lord has made, and therefore we must rejoice and be glad in it. We do not know what a day may hold for us, but the Lord, who holds the day, has given the day to us. And therefore, we are indeed to be thankful that He has given to us this time that we can rejoice and learn of Him and of His faithfulness. The fact is, the day is a package from the Lord. And there is nothing in this package that is there without God's knowledge. And I often will, I'm ordering things that for our church, and sometimes in the package there will be an inventory list, and the person who was to have packed that particular item in the box. And the list goes down, and they continue to go down the list, and there are things that say, you know, a person's initial. And so you acknowledge the fact that this one has put this in, moved to another station, and someone places something else. And then at the end, there is someone who signs off to say that all the items have been accounted for in the package. Well, our lives are in the Lord's hands. Now, only the Lord knows what's in the package. Only the Lord knows what is in the package. Now, because He is God and He knows everything, you cannot say what was predestined and foreordained for you or what is. You cannot, on this side, say what is predestined and foreordained for you. You cannot say that it's predestined and foreordained that you are going to be saved or that you are going to be lost. Or you cannot say that. Cannot say that it's predestined and foreordained that you shall marry this person or that person. When only when it's in the past can you say that. But standing on this side of an issue, we still trust the Lord and we still look to Him. We still are very much aware that there are certain things that the Lord knows, and He knows the plan, and only He knows the plan. He told the prophets certain things that were going to happen, but they proclaimed and they didn't understand all that they were saying. They didn't understand the application that the Lord was presenting. They knew that the Lord was presenting certain things, and so they would go ahead and proclaim His word. And I'm glad the Lord doesn't let us look into tomorrow. He doesn't let us look ahead. Now, we try to plan for what's ahead. And sad is the case of the person who lives as though he were in the future. And I find people that are frustrated now because they planned something and it didn't turn out like they were planning it to be. Or they are upset with someone who didn't fit into their plan. Someone's behavior or health didn't fit into their plan. And their whole world has crumbled. And they are terribly upset because they thought that they made this day and they made the events, they planned that, and it didn't fit into their plans. I remember talking some time ago with some young people, and one young girl was talking about something that messed up her plan, and it didn't fit into her plan, and so she was upset about it. Well, I pray that you will recognize the way that we are to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name for the blessings of the Lord upon this message and upon thy people. I plead the blood, asking for power and wisdom. Fill me with thy spirit to minister thy truth for Jesus' sake. Amen. We, on the previous program, were considering the fact that Abimelech, who was one a king, and he had noticed that Isaac was sporting with his wife, the woman whom he had said was his sister. And Abimelech says, "Now, what have you done to us? One of our people might have lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us." This passage always says to me that man knows that it is wrong to take another man's wife. Here in this particular section here, there is no indication that this man is a believer in the Lord, that he is one who knows the Lord God of heaven. But he does say, one of our people might have lain with thy wife and brought guiltiness upon us. Now, guiltiness or being guilty means that there's a broken, that you have transgressed a known law. You have transgressed a law. And so he's saying, now, guilty to whom? Now, he's the king. He didn't say you could have brought guiltiness to somebody before me. No, he says you could have brought guiltiness upon us if someone had taken your wife. So it is wrong to take someone else's wife or husband. It is not this demonic, devilish law of the fittest as far as who can take whose wife or whose husband or who can take whose job. That's not of God. This matter of the competitive sports in a marriage, in moral matters, that's not of God. Now, competitive sports, there you may learn great lessons, and so I'm not calling that a moral matter. But we are to consider the fact that there are more, the matter of morality does enter into the playing of sports. And the Lord here gives to us a record of this Abimelech saying, you might have brought guiltiness upon us if we had done this thing. And Abimelech now goes on and makes a statement to his people saying, we're in Genesis chapter 26 now. He says, Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. So this man, Abimelech, does have power. He has standards. He expects his people to abide by the standards that he has set. And he considers this matter of fidelity as being a moral matter. Not something that, well, we just don't want to get along anymore, so let's take someone else's wife. Well, that is, he knows differently. And he rejects that idea that anyone would have. And Genesis chapter 26, verse 10 now, verse 11, and then going on to 12, Isaac is moving along. He does explain why he had told the lie, and he found satisfaction in himself, and only in himself. And here again, let's look further to what he has said. Guiltiness, the matter of committing the sin of adultery. This was even a bad crime in the eyes of the heathen, as we mentioned. Let's look at further into this passage. In verse 12 now, Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Now, here is a man who has God's hand upon the blessings, upon the items that he is receiving. He knows that God, the Lord, has given to him that which he is receiving. And so the scriptures again confirm to us, testify that Isaac was blessed by the Lord. And the Lord is the one who causes the crops to grow. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Where was his greatness coming from? Coming from the Lord. It was coming on this side of a matter of a lack of trust and doubt, his putting into place his own plan to protect himself. Isaac sowed in the land, is blessed greatly by the Lord. Verse 14 of Genesis 26, has possessions of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now, the world is looking at how one is being blessed, a man who knows the true and living God, who provides the food for them, who provides the rain, who provides the weather, who controls the weather, who makes the soil to be the right soil. Only the Lord can do this. And the Philistines, those who don't know the Lord, those who worship idol gods and false gods, are looking on and they're envying Isaac. There are many people now, you're living in envy because someone is being blessed more than you are. And you're just like the unsaved world. Now, you profess to know Christ, but you are envying the progress and the prosperity of another man or another woman. You're envying their children. You're envying their job. You're envying the promotions they receive in their church and all kinds of things that you find yourself envying them for. Now, that will swallow you like a serpent. I started thinking about the snake today for some reason. Is that it doesn't have hands, and yet it's a very vicious foe. Doesn't have to have hands to swallow, and yet it has a way by coiling itself around its prey and swallowing and poisoning before it swallows and attacking and killing. And that's the way envy will do. You think that you can control it? It bites you. And the person of whom you're envious doesn't even know anything about you. And you're sitting back wishing they would fall and eager for them to have a tumble down. And you will just be so delightful if you can hear some bad bit of information on them. And you're just waiting for them to miss a step so that you can step in and show how bad they are. The Philistines envied Isaac, and it was the Lord who had blessed Isaac. They could have been blessed by the Lord, could have come to Isaac and have said, "Now we want to know this God of whom you speak." You see, the reason why the Lord blesses us is so that the world can see that God is. He gets glory to himself by the way that he blesses his people, providing many things, numerous things for them. Verse 15, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth." So now you see why what their envy had done for them. Could not they have drunk from those wells? Could not they have been benefited from the wells and been blessed by them? They didn't see that. They were eager to see that the wells were stopped. They envied Abraham. They wanted to control everything. And in so controlling, they hurt themselves. That is the case of many people. You're trying to hurt someone else, and you're just hurting yourself. Your blood pressure is boiling. Your health is failing. And the person that you hate is prospering, and things are getting worse. Repent of that sin. Forsake that sin. Ask God to forgive you. Trust Christ and be born again. Or if you're a saved person, trust Christ and forsake that sin and get things right with the Lord today. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today for this time that we have to minister the Word of God. Help us to make the message plain and clear, and I pray thee to use this for thy glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I invite you to join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina, 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greenville, zip code 29609. May the Lord richly bless you.